Falling leaves and falling temperatures mean it's time to put the garden to bed. But before you tuck everything in for a long winter's nap, why not join me, Skip Mancini, for an autumn edition of Growing on the High Plains. Having married a boy from the Big Apple, my life on the High Plains often includes travel back to New York City, where I take in the fabulous sights, food, theater, and gardens. Years ago, there was a television show set in New York that ended each week with a deep voice intoning, "There are 8 million stories in the Naked City, and this has been one of them." Through the years, the population of New York has remained in that 8 million range, and I think that most of the 8 million must be gardeners, because it's amazing how much green space you see in that vertical city that never sleeps. Look straight ahead and you'll see flower markets on the street corners. Look up from the street and you'll see trees on roof gardens, ferns planted on terraces, window boxes sporting geraniums. Look down from a skyscraper and you'll see countless public squares, parks, and plazas, as well as a huge expanse of green that is Central Park, the cornerstone of the city's public gardens. Whenever I visit, I try to take in a Broadway show, an art exhibit, and a botanical wonder. In the past, I've seen the numerous areas of Central Park, the New York Botanical Gardens in the Bronx, the Japanese water gardens of the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, and the Wave Hill Estate overlooking the Hudson River, Hyde Park Gardens in the Hudson Valley, and the newest gem in the New York Gardens Network, the elevated gardens of the High Line. But this last August, during a New York stay, I found a gardening highlight that I visited every day, and I didn't even have to leave my hotel. Actually, we weren't technically in New York, because we stayed just across the river in New Jersey, just a 4-minute underwater subway ride from the World Trade Center. The hotel we stayed in had a wonderful view of the New York skyline and offered all the big city amenities needed to keep hundreds of visitors happy. But the thing that really impressed me was the way that a big high-rise hotel incorporated nature and gardening into its daily operations. The restaurants and catering service made serious attempts to use as much locally produced food as possible and featured daily offerings of fruits, vegetables, and dairy products from New Jersey farms. The meals were prepared with fresh herbs that were grown in the walls of the lobby. Behind the front desk were panels of growing medium with a watering system that regularly hydrated plants of fresh basil, chives, thyme, and other culinary herbs and garnishes that you might see one day in the lobby and the next day on your plate. In addition to salad greens and herbs, the hotel also had set up a program with a local company to install honeybee hives on the roof. The honeybee is the state insect of New Jersey, and now 140,000 bees are pollinating a wide area around the hotel, including a state park area and nearby farmlands. They then return to their hives high atop the Hyatt Regency in Jersey City for a good night's sleep. Honey from their hives is served up at breakfast for the two-legged and wingless hotel guests. This summer's trip back east was, as always, a great getaway. But this year it was especially beautiful because of the green thumb efforts of a big corporate business in bringing a bit of nature to the big city. And since returning, I've found other high-rise hotels are providing homes for honeybees. I think the success of those efforts calls for not shouting, but buzzing it from the rooftops.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.